How many of you are ready to hear the word this morning? Hold up your Bibles. Say it with me. Say, this is the word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. Sometimes I'm going to start a new message series today, and it's called That's Life. You'll see why in a moment. Sometimes in life, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're good or you're bad, whether you're living uprightly or downright nasty, bad things can and do happen to us all. Can I get an amen to that, right? I mean, they say bad things happen to good people sometimes, right? Now, that's called life. Because life happens. Jesus spoke these words in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. If you want to turn there, we have it up on the screen, I believe. Matthew 5, 45, Jesus speaking these words. That you may be children of our Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In other words, what he's saying is, he says, even to good people, bad stuff happens sometimes. Now, there are people that will tell you as a Christian, you should not be experiencing all the evils that the world is experiencing. And if you bought into that, or some Christian leader taught you that when you got saved, you've been duped. Jesus said, in this world, you will have nothing but good times. As a Christian, you got it all going on. Anybody living that life? Because I'm coming to your house. As a member of the family of God, as children of God, we're not exempt from experiencing life's ups and downs, as we all know. Anybody in here ever go through some ups and downs? Any ups and downs in your life? Mm-hmm. You know why? We live in a fallen world, and we live amongst fallen people. And because we do, sooner or later, we're going to have to understand that truth that sometimes even to the best of us, even to the most righteous, most upright, holy individual, bad stuff can and does happen. Even to me. I know, hard for me to believe. I am God's favorite. Now, the problem with the ideal of perfection, or living in a state of perfection where everything is perfect, the moment that things are not perfect, we got a problem. Okay, guy, what are you doing? How could you let this happen? Why would you let this happen? Why in my life? I thought we were tight. And over the next 6 weeks, I'm going to be preaching through the life of Joseph. Joseph was upright. Joseph loved God. I think he loved God more than his 12 brothers. Joseph had a great love and understanding and respect for God. Joseph loved his father, loved his brothers. Joseph wanted to do the right thing. And yet Joseph was dealt one blow after another, after another, after another, until he finally makes it into his destiny. Joseph's story is a great story with lots of valuable spiritual lessons and applications that we can take away. The series is called That's Life. Here's what's going to happen. Today I'm going to talk about this subject, dream anyway. June 7th, next week, I'm going to talk to you about don't let the detours deter your dreams. June 14th, do the right thing anyway. June 21st, obstacles can't stop God's destiny. June 28th, God is the author of connections. July the 5th, prepared for here and now. And July the 12th, forgiveness is powerful. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 37. We're going to be kind of hanging out in Genesis chapter 37 through about chapter 45 over the next several weeks. And we're going to learn and study the life of Joseph. Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. Here's what it says. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. The brothers were not doing things right, and Joseph ratted them out. Now, Israel, that is Jacob, by the way, because we started off talking about Jacob. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Verse 9, then he had another dream. And he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. And this time the sun and moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." And when he told it to his father as well and his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Many times throughout the Bible, in the lives of people, and even today throughout the ages, we have seen that God often speaks through dreams. Anybody ever had a God dream? I don't know. So often we discount our dreams as nothing more than imagination without consciousness. That's my definition of dream. Imagination without conscious thought, right? I didn't sit there thinking about something and all of a sudden began a dream. I was sound asleep, like out for hours, and all of a sudden I had a dream. I have often had dreams so vivid, so powerful. I woke up in the morning and I heard the voice of God say, "That was me." And I knew that God was speaking. Listen, in dreams, God can use them to do several things. Here are a few of the things God does in and through our dreams. He can warn us, right? "Hey, don't go there. Don't do that. You might want to watch out for that person." He prepares us. "Hey, that thing you're about to enter into, I need to prepare you. You need to see this. You need to see that. You need to look here. Don't look." You know, God prepares us for the next thing. God sometimes agrees with us in prayer. We have a thought. Is this the tacos talking or is this God talking? And God says, "No, that's me talking." And he puts that agreement together in your heart, in your spirit, and you know it was him. And sometimes he changes our mind. That's called repentance. Here's some of what the Bible says about dreams. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28. We heard Carla a few minutes ago talk about Pentecost Sunday. You know, today all over the world is Pentecost Sunday. This is the day celebrated that the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh. The day Jesus ascended into heaven, what did he tell his disciples? "Hey, you guys go wait there in the upper room and don't move until this happens. Don't you move one muscle because you're going to need what's about to happen." There are some churches don't celebrate Pentecost Sunday. I celebrate Pentecost Sunday every Sunday because you know what? Somebody asked me one time, "Hey, do you need the Holy Spirit to go to heaven?" I said, "I need the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. I need the Holy Spirit to get out of bed sometimes. The Holy Spirit's work in my life is there to warn you, prepare you, agree with you, and change your mind sometimes. This is what Joel said in Joel chapter 2, talking about the end times, talking about God pouring out his Spirit. This is what he said. Now, this happened hundreds of years before the day of Pentecost, but I won't listen to the words. "And afterward," Joel says in chapter 2, verse 28, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams." Old men, young men, women, children. God lets us dream his dreams, right? Elihu, one of Job's good friends, when Job was going through the toughest time of his life, he had lost everything, lost his children, lost his wealth, lost all his things, and he's sitting there and he's in pain, he's sick, he's not doing well, and his friend Elihu says these words in Job chapter 33, verse 14, "For God does speak, now one way, now another, though no one perceives it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their beds. And he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings to turn from their wrongdoing and keep them from pride. Here we see Job's friend as he rebukes Job, telling him to listen intently to the things of God. Don't miss them. They may even come in the night while you're sleeping. So often, I believe that God comes in the night while we're sleeping because during the day we're so busy, so preoccupied with all the stuff that we're too busy to listen. We're too distracted to listen. You know, I got you quiet now. I got you laying down. I got you not moving. You ain't watching TV. You ain't looking at that phone. You're not on Facebook and Instagram. You're not doing anything. You're just there. I got you. Captive audience. Now listen up. And we wake up. Man, I had the weirdest dream last night. In Joseph's dream, he sees himself dreaming a dream that may have seemed a little crazy at the time. Remember, Joseph was one of 12 brothers. He was the second to the bottom in birth order. Do you know that when someone was chosen within a family to lead, they always started with the oldest first? And then if that one, for some reason, didn't qualify or had to be removed or died or whatever, it would be the next one and the next one. Joseph was the most unlikely to lead in his family because he was second from the bottom of 12. He had to go through 10 brothers to get to him. But God. How many of you ever dealt with the but God factor? The but God factor says, I don't care about birthright, birth order, how old you are, how smart you are. I don't care where you went to college or if you didn't go to college. I don't care if you graduated from the third grade. Because but God trumps everything else. We must never discount the but God factor. I want you to know, a little more than 20 years ago, I had a but God moment. I had attended a church service like this one, and the pastor was a great guy, and he had been speaking that day, and I mean, he was just talking to me. There was about 80, 90 people in the room, but I was the only one that he was talking to, I promise you. And I left church that day just my life in turmoil. I was turned upside down. I didn't know what to think. And I went to bed that night, and I had a dream. In the dream, I was playing a flute. If you've ever been to our Get Started class, I tell this dream at all of our Get Started classes because it's part of the history of our church. I went to bed that night and I had this dream. I'm playing a flute. By the way, I don't play musical instruments of any kind. I have no musical ability. If you don't believe me, stand next to me while I sing. You'd be like, God, could you just stop? Just move your mouth. I'm playing a flute and behind me is people walking. Now, anybody ever seen the movie The Pied Piper? I've never seen the movie, but I know what happened. So there's a guy playing a flute, and the mice or the rats are following him, right? Well, I'm playing a flute, and people are following me, like throngs of people. I wake up the next day. God, that was the weirdest dream. What in the world was that? I go to bed the next night, on Monday night, same dream. And on Tuesday night, same exact dream. Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, same exact dream. Now, I am puzzled. I want you to get this. 35 years old, up to this 35th year of my life, I never had a recurring dream about anything. I didn't even think about, like, when I was even a teenager, I didn't think about girls and had dreams about girls or anything, nothing like that. All of a sudden, here, the same dream, 6 nights in a row. I wake up the 7th day, and I am just puzzled. I'm driving up Highway 1088 in Mandeville from our neighborhood towards Highway 59. This is before the interstate exit was open there. As I'm driving and recounting the dream, I'm like, what is this crazy dream? And the Lord speaks to me as loud as I'm talking to you today. He says, that dream you've been having is me calling you. Oh, I broke down right there in my truck. I tell you, I bring you to the spot. At the corner of Highway 1088 and Highway 59 in the turning lane next to the Chevron station right there. And I gave my life to Jesus right there. And my life has never been the same. I had a dream. It started with a dream. And God is still giving us dreams today. And at that moment, I knew that he called me. And all I could do was follow. I had no idea that my future was this. I was self-employed. I was in business at the time. And I just wanted a relationship with God. My wife said, I just wanted you to go to church. I didn't want you to work there, you know. God still calls people in dreams. The what was to come was still unknown. The what was to come for Joseph was still unknown. And how he would get there was really unknown. And I believe had Joseph known, he'd have kept his mouth shut. If he had known all the trouble he was going to go through from telling his brothers his dream, he might have not said anything. The lesson for you today really is that although God still gives dreams, be careful what you do with the dream. Not everyone will be excited about God's dreams as you are. But listen to me, dream anyway. Four important truths I want to share with you today about God's dreams in your life, in Joseph's life, in our life. The first one is this, that favor isn't fair. Genesis chapter 37 says, "Now Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons." I don't know why God favors some over others. Now, I want you to don't hear me say God loves me more than you. He loves us all the same. But God certainly has his favor on some more than others. Or I should say, it looks different in each other's lives. I wouldn't say God gives me more favor than you. He gives us all favor, but it just looks different, right? Yeah. And so Jacob's love for Joseph just looked different. He gave him a robe. Daddy didn't give me a robe. I didn't get no ornamental robe. That's not fair. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells a parable, and I believe it's about the heart of the Father. If you want to turn to Matthew 25, verse 14, Jesus is talking about the heart of God or the kingdom of God. This is what he says. "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, and to one he gave 2 bags, and to another 1 bag. Look at this next line. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey." I believe when it comes to who God raises up and who God doesn't, has a lot to do with the recipient's ability to receive and accomplish what God is calling him to do. God's not going to call you if he knows you're not going to respond. God's not going to give you a great thing to go and do if you haven't responded to the last thing he asked you to go and do. Always, I hear people all the time, "I want to do something great for God." I say, "What's the last thing you heard? Are you doing that?" Because it's not going to start out with the great thing. It's going to start out with cleaning the toilets. You know, that's how I started in ministry. "What y'all need me to do? Can you clean the bathroom?" "Yeah, I guess I can." And I'm good at it too, but I'm going to tell you. I can clean a toilet like nobody's business. The parable says he gave to each man according to his ability. God didn't hold a lottery, draw a straw, and say, "Well, let's see, you got lucky today. You get the 5 bags, you get the 2 bags, you get the 1 bag." He said, no, he gave to each man according to his ability. Listen, Israel had 12 sons. Joseph was his favorite, or so it appeared. And it seems that the other boys knew it, and they weren't too excited about it. When God's favor is over your life, when you begin to openly share God's favor with other people, don't be surprised if everybody's not so excited about God's favor on your life. "Well, I'm not experiencing that. That didn't happen to me. I didn't get that blessing. Psalm 18, verse 25, listen to this. He said, "To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless." Listen, favor isn't always fair, but don't compare your favor to another's favor. Your favor is your favor. As a matter of fact, it may not be there to share with everybody. Maybe everybody don't need to know. If God directs you to share, you share. But favor isn't fair. Trust me and believe that and walk in that. But just don't compare your favor to another's favor because they're not the same. The second truth I want you to get about dreaming is this. You need to prepare to share. Genesis chapter 37, verse 5 says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers, they hated him all the more. You notice it say, Joseph had a dream, and he began to think about it, pray about it. He began to dwell on it. God, what does this dream mean? What are you trying to show me? Hey, brothers, guess what? Let me tell you this dream I had. We were out in the field harvesting grain. My sheaf rose up, and your sheaves bowed down to me. What do you think the 10 older brothers are thinking? "Well, you younger than me, boy. I'll put you in a headlock." Old Joe couldn't wait to share his with his brothers what God was showing him. You know, some dreams are there for you to sit on and to let simmer and to let percolate. You know what that is? If you some you young people are like, what percolate? What's that? Yeah, because y'all don't know what a percolator is. We used to have a percolator when I was a kid. You know, you got to allow sometimes your spirit to catch up to God's spirit. Do you know your spirit, God's spirit, they don't operate on the same plane, the same level. And when God drops something in your spirit, many times it's going to take a while for you to catch up. It's going to take a while for you to get there. Romans 8:16 says the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. But I want you to know that doesn't it happened immediately, but it doesn't happen here immediately. It takes a little while for your spirit to catch up. Hey, wait a minute. I'm a child of God. You can't do that to me. I'm a child of God. When people first get saved, like, man, the devil is beating me up. I will you pray for me? The devil's harassing me. I always say, why are you letting him? What do you mean? He's the devil, you know, pitchfork, horns. Yeah, and you're a child of the Most High. What don't you understand? When you receive a dream, pray. Go to God in prayer. Connect spirit to spirit. And prayer allows your spirit and God's spirit to connect and come into agreement. Hold that dream in until God directs you to share it. Prepare to share. Only share when the dream is right to be shared. We got to prepare. The third thing that I want to teach you about dreaming is this. You got to have selective share. Genesis 37:5 says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers, they hated him all the more. Listen to this dream. He wasn't selective about sharing. He just couldn't wait to tell his brothers, listen what God's doing in my life. Let me tell you what God showed me. Not everybody's ready to hear what God is saying to you, and not everyone will celebrate God's dream. There are lots of factors to why or why not to tell certain people. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And this still, to this day, it bothers me. It bothers me, deeply bothers me. I was with a guy I thought was my friend. We'll use that term loosely. We just started the church, and he and I were having breakfast together, and I was dreaming with him, literally dreaming with him, telling him all the dreams that God had been giving me and kind of what I was thinking. And the church was in its infancy stages, and I was saying, you know, God said we're going to do a significant work of God on the North Shore. He looked at me across the table, and he goes, this church will never be what you think it's going to be. What? What do you mean? You don't have what it takes. Dude, I was like, what? I wanted to get off from that table right then and there. I'm like, dude, yeah, this ain't, God, the Holy Spirit's like, this ain't really your friend. I left that meeting devastated. I had to go renew my mind for literally for days after. To God, well, God, did you really say this? I really said it. And you got to quit listening to the naysayers because they'll be all around you. Listen, that there'll always be a naysayer. When God tells you to do something that's significant, I'm not saying I'm anything because I am far from anything. But I want you to know, I know this. God, I have the calling of God on my life. I am anointed for such a time as this, and I know what God has called me to do. And listen, and when you know who you are in Christ, there is nothing that can stand in the way. Needless to say, me and that guy, not really friends anymore. Peggy and I have told our dreams to several people, especially early on. And I remember, forget one couple we told our dream to. They were on board. So we're in, 100%. Matter of fact, they helped us start this church. Literally helped us. Financially helped us. Provided things for us to have church. That's friends, right? Hey, listen, I agree with the call of God on your life. Yes, I see that. Yes, I believe that. Yes, I trust that. I'm with you. We're with you, right? I want you to know, if God spoke it, it will happen just as he said it would, regardless of what anybody else says. You need to put people around you that will encourage the dreams that God has given. people that will pray with you and about the fulfillment of the dreams and constantly bring you back to the dream, because there'll be opportunities along the way for you to get your eyes off of the dream and onto your circumstances. You know how many times along the way I took my eyes off of the dream and put them on my circumstances. And I'm like, God, are you sure? You seeing what I'm seeing? Get your eyes off all that. Get back to the dream. Get back to the dream. And I have people, get back to the dream. You got to remember. Got to remember. Got to remember. All right, I got it. I ain't going back in spite of what I'm seeing. That's why we do that thing at the beginning. I'm going to believe God's word whether I see the results immediately or not, because there'll be plenty of opportunity to see something other than the results. You got to have selective sharing. And lastly, listen to me, you got a dream anyway. In chapter 37 of Genesis, verse 9, it says, then he had another dream, and he told his brothers, listen, I had another dream. What I love about this is, in spite of the negative he got from his brothers and his father, he said, I had another dream. Now, you can't stop me dreaming. I'm still going to dream. Listen, I'm still here. That guy's not, but I'm still here. That friend is not, but I'm still here. He's not, but this church is still here. By the way, let me write it. 10 years later. Don't let discouragement and disappointment stop you from dreaming God's dreams. Remember, God's dreams are not always going to make sense to you at first. Matter of fact, rarely will they ever make sense to you at first, but they make for a lot of faith. Yeah. Got to have a lot of faith, because the dreams are like, God, are you sure? Do you know who you're talking to? Oh, I know who I'm talking to. You know, when God put this building in our path, he wasn't checking our bank account. He didn't say, well, you put the money away, you're ready to go. He was checking our faith. Do you have the belief? Do you have the dream in your heart to believe I can do it? I'd say yes, we do. And you know what? The leadership of this church said yes, we do. I didn't do this by myself. I had people around me saying, we believe that. We trust that. We're behind you with that. That's people around you encouraging God's dream. If you don't have people around you encouraging God's dream, you got the wrong circle. You got to get you a new circle. Listen, in one day, when God calls us to the next, because this ain't it. When God calls us to do the next thing, we're going to step out. We're going to step into the river there too. You know why? Because we've seen his faithfulness all throughout the years. We've seen him do things we never thought possible. We've seen things happen that had to be God. They had to be God, because humans can't do it. That's what faith is, being sure of what I hope for and certain of what I do not see. The not seeing and completely understanding and yet believing anyway. That's what faith is, right? You know, the crowd, when I started New Beginnings 10 years ago, the crowd that believed us was small. Small. Six people. So we met again the next week, and the six turned to 20, and the next week the six was 30 plus, and the next week we were so too big to fit in my friend's house, so we moved, and we've been on the move ever since. I'd be honest, a few times along the way, I questioned God. Are you sure? God, I can go get another job. I got a few talents. God said, no, this is what I want you to do. This is what I called you to do. You keep doing this. And listen. And look what God has done. When you know it's God who put the dream in your spirit, then allow him the opportunity to nurture it and to mature it until the seed grows into the thing that he intended for it to be. You know that when you put an acorn in the ground, that little bitty thing, about as big as my pinky fingernail, you stick it in the ground, you think, yeah, one day this thing's going to be a giant oak tree. Yeah, sure it is. Okay. You see the size of that thing? Okay, just put it in the ground. This guy's smoking something. Something's wrong. Inside that little acorn is an oak tree, so big and so massive that the strongest hurricane can't knock it over. Listen to what I'm telling you. Inside of every one of you, there's a God dream. And I know there are going to be people that try to knock it down. There'll be some naysayers that try to get you to look the other way. Of course, the devil's going to try to get you to look the other way. But I want you to know, you put it in the ground by faith. Lord, I'm going to put my seed in the ground, and I'm going to watch it grow. You know, for 2,000 years, the good news has been carried throughout the world on the lives of people who receive God's dream. And I know people that have received God's dream, but they have no action behind it. That's not a dream. That's just a wish. God's not looking for the wishers. He's looking for the dreamers. Would you stand with me? You're wanting to live out God's dreams for your life, your family's life. Would you just raise your hand and say, oh, that's me. I just want to live out God's dream for my life. Just remember this about God's dreams. Favor isn't fair. Don't compare. Prepare to share. Be selective in your sharing. And listen, regardless of what happens, dream anyway. Because that's life. Good and bad, ups and downs, tops and bottoms. Heavenly Father, you see the hands raised all over this place. God, we want to dream your dreams. Our dreams are way too small. Our dreams are things that we can accomplish in and of ourselves. And God, we want dreams that only we can only accomplish by the power of Almighty God at work in our lives. God, I think things that are exceedingly abundantly above all we ask, think, or imagine. God, those kind of Ephesians 3:20 dreams. And I pray, God, as we continue to walk after you, run after you, Jesus, that you will fill us with your spirit. Let your spirit and our spirit connect with one another. Put us into agreement so that we adopt your dreams as our dreams. And we'll continue to see you move on the earth, God, through people that are willing to dream your dreams. We thank you for Joseph and his life, the life he modeled for us. We ask you to use him in his story in the next 6 weeks or 5 weeks as we continue in this series, That's Life. And God, I pray along the way, if any of us run into some That's Life problems, we're to remember that even the best of us have our ups and our downs, but that we're not going to disregard the work of God in any of the situations, but simply wondering what it is you're trying to show us and teach us as we encounter each and every situation that we walk through. We ask you to bless the day ahead of us and our week ahead as we live for you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.